welcome to Polygon Alpha Spaces. This is where we source questions from the Polygon community to gain insights from the leaders in DeFi, in crypto, in the Polygon ecosystem. I'm your host, Crypto Texan, and today we are joined by two very special guests, Jin and Angus from Chronicle Labs. Jin, Angus, how are y'all doing today? You're in Nice for your offsite. That's very exciting.
Yeah, we're doing awesome. And it's nice to be back with the Polygon crew and you. But yeah, things have been starting off well here in Nice for offsite. So the whole team's together, which is really important since we're fully distributed. And this is like a great opportunity for us to get together in person and strategize about all the cool things we're going to be working on this year.
Ooh, that's exciting. Maybe we can talk about some of those exciting things. And is that like, that is a very exciting thing about offsites, because I know Polygon, we have ours coming up next month. And it's just, you know, when you're working in this space, everyone is so widely distributed all over the entire world. And it's just really nice to, you know, shake a hand, have a drink, strategize with people in real life, where historically you only see like their avatar profile picture or just their face on the screen if you're lucky.
Yeah, totally. It's nice to take like the office of Discord into an actual real life office. So yeah, it's really a good opportunity for everybody to just connect and you know, drill down into the things that we're going to be running after when we go back to our kind of individual lives that are online together.
That's exciting. That's great. And so before we get started, let's just talk about the backgrounds and your role, Jin and Angus. Yeah, what are your backgrounds? What is your role at Chronicle Labs? And then we'll get into just like, what is Chronicle and the history of Chronicle and all of that as well.
Yeah, so super quick on my side. I run marketing here at Chronicle Labs. So I have the fun job of effectively, you know, managing our brand, managing everything that you see on the externally or everyone that sort of outside the company sees about Chronicle. Positioning us in the Oracle market and, you know, utilizing the innate benefits and abilities of Chronicle that we have as part of our story and as part of our tech stack and protocol, and just really pushing that stuff into the fore and ensuring that people understand and are excited about what we're building and what we're doing at Chronicle and why it's different.
Amazing. Thanks for that. And Jin, just your role, your background as well.
Yep. So I head up BD and growth here at Chronicle. So working really closely with Angus on the marketing side and the go-to-market, and really kind of in this point in our growth where we are currently like independent brand team service recently spun out of Maker this past year. We're now, you know, talking to the builders, learning what are the things that are important to them, some of the challenges they've had with getting price feeds and oracles, and some of the things that they'd really like to see from a service provider. And, you know, essentially bringing that back inside to the engineering team and helping to, you know, allow us to inform our roadmap and, you know, essentially just deliver on what the market really needs right now from an Oracle provider.
Yeah, and I think that's one of my favorite things about the story of Chronicle Protocol is that this, you know, this is like the OG of OG oracles in a sense, because you were or still are the oracle for MakerDAO, and then MakerDAO's kind of gone through this process where it's starting to spin off these protocols into their own separate type of entity or autonomous code that just operates on its own, has its own ecosystems. I don't know. Why do you feel like that's like a pretty interesting differentiating part of your history and kind of set you apart from others? Because like if there's new oracles that are spinning up, you know, that they don't necessarily have the reputation that a project like Oracle would have coming from the MakerDAO ecosystem.
Yeah, it's unique because we're actually literally the first Oracle that was launched on Ethereum back in 2017 with Inside Maker for Maker exclusively, out of the necessity to launch Sai, which was single collateral DAI before DAI. And that was before there was any other Oracle provider on the scene. So it was before Chainlink was available, and we just needed an Oracle in order to deliver the core product that Maker was building, this decentralized stablecoin. So yeah, from all these years of kind of living and serving, you know, the largest at times DeFi protocol and seeing the challenges, going through black swan events, going through bear and bull cycles, and understanding like the intricacies of what's important, what's critical for Oracle infrastructure, really, I think does make Chronicle uniquely different and differentiated from other Oracle providers, whether they've been in the space for a few years or they just, you know, came on the scene in the last year. You know, there's something about just like longevity and experience and this battle-tested kind of like history we've had that allows us to really understand the market and DeFi in a way that nobody really else does.
Just to add to that as well, on the MakerDAO sort of side of things that you touched on there, Justin, I think it's really interesting to see how many different entities or companies or projects, whatever you want to call them, have spun out of MakerDAO in one way or the other, right? Whether that's sort of officially spun out or whether that's people who are ex-MakerDAO and have gone off to form their own entities. You know, you've got Spark, obviously, which is the first sub-DAO, which is making huge leaps and bounds in the DeFi space, in the lending space. You've got people like Stable Lab and Block Analytica and Agena, and there's a huge list of projects actually, you know, Stakehouse Financial, others that have, you know, the majority of the people there, the founders there, were working for Maker at one point or are still involved in some sort of way. And what's really interesting about all those projects is that they've all gone on to be sort of quite successful. And I think that really speaks to the ethic and ethos at MakerDAO, which is also tied in very, very closely with Chronicle and the story that you just heard from Jen there about how Chronicle started. There's always been this sort of approach at Maker to not rush things, you know, to do things in the right way, and to build them to last. And that was the approach with building the first ever Oracle, blockchain Oracle on Ethereum. And you know, that's sort of an approach that I think us and many others at some of the other, you know, companies I just mentioned have really taken forward from our time at Maker.
Yeah. And were both of you, Angus and Jen, were y'all contributing to MakerDAO prior to Chronicle in being spun off, or did you come into Chronicle after the fact?
I did. I joined Maker back in 2018. It was actually my entry point into crypto, and I was lucky enough to land on Maker. So I was part of the BD team back in during the Maker Foundation before it was a DAO, and essentially helped grow DAI from like this obscure concept of a decentralized stablecoin that would be used as a medium of exchange across DeFi versus what people intended. Only ETH as an asset to be. So it was a really interesting journey between 2018 to, you know, up until 2023, seeing DAI grow, you know, into the billions and just being used in CeFi and DeFi in real world assets and for, you know, across the globe. So I joined Chronicle this past summer to kind of continue this, you know, growth story. And I think Chronicle is going to, you know, kind of express that same type of experience where, you know, we're like at the beginning of our journey as this independent brand and team. And there's just so much we're going to be building into and scaling into over the coming years. So it's quite exciting.
That is very exciting. And I just love the history there too. Like, you know, when I think of MakerDAO, I think of like the OG of OG. It's like Aave, Synthetics, Compound, MakerDAO. Like those are like the big four in my book, even though Synthetics was called Haven and Aave was called Ethland back then. And I put out a tweet not that long ago that just said, I miss single collateral DAI. Just as like, you know, things seemed a little simpler back then, you know, but not to say that, you know, all this innovation that we're seeing now in the ecosystem is bad. It's just, you know, things are getting a little bit more complex, a little bit more, maybe like a little more bureaucratic and political sometimes, but you know, that's just part of like the growing and evolution of our space in this technology as we see it grow, kind of like what you were touching on, seeing DAI to grow to a billion, outstanding. Like you wouldn't have got there or got there as quickly if it was like just ETH as collateral to mint DAI. And so that's, you know, just exciting. And y'all are part of this history.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, I think it's like a natural evolution, like you said, Justin, you know, as this space gets more, you know, drives more and more capital towards it, more and more interest. It's going to get more and more complex. It's going to get perhaps even more and more adversarial in some ways. You know, we've had some great drama going on over the past few weeks in the DeFi space, involving Maker, Athena, Aave, and others. And all of this is sort of testament, really, to how far we've come from those days, where there's that sort of debate drives so much attention and you know, drives news headlines, really, in the blockchain and crypto space. So MakerDAO has come a very, very long way, you know, since those early days. And it's so exciting to be, you know, part of Chronicle as this unique and exclusive provider to MakerDAO and the sub-DAOs and, you know, the sub-DAOs to come. There's a whole ecosystem in the works beyond the sort of informal ecosystem that I already mentioned, you know, ex-Maker and people who have been part of Maker over the years. So, I mean, and it's crazy to think that even with all of that, even with everything that we've just talked about and that evolution we've seen since, you know, 2016, 2017, there's still so much more to come. You know, we are, not to steal a cliche, but we are still very early, it feels like.
We are early. And I wasn't going to touch on the recent drama in the ecosystem lately. And I'm still not going to talk about it, but I'm glad that you brought it up and not me. But it's been very interesting to just see how all of this plays out. I think it's like, I think just like the history of MakerDAO in general will just be like such an interesting case study to look back on from Genesis to, like, you know, 10 years from now. And Chronicle is obviously a big part of that story now. And I think, you know, we've talked about the history and, like, you know, where we see things going, but I will also want to, like, kind of scale this back a little bit and just, like, for a very beginner question for, like, maybe people who aren't as familiar with the DeFi space or oracles, you know, Jen or Angus, I don't know which one of you would want to take this, but just, you know, just very basically 1,000-foot view, like, why are oracles important to the DeFi ecosystem?
Yeah, so very on a very basic level, you know, smart contracts and protocols that are on chain need information that is from other places. And the way that they can access that information is through oracles. So because protocols are essentially running off of price data for the most part, oracles play a critical role in informing a protocol what the real-time price of an asset is. And that can be useful for trading to understand what is the value of this asset at the point of buying, selling, or what is the liquidation point or cost of an asset in order to, you know, reconcile a position that's, you know, under-collateralized. Or what is the cost of this asset in a prediction market to inform, like, who placed the right bet on a particular outcome? So an oracle fundamentally informs you know, the behavior of a protocol, and that behavior being tied primarily to prices. And they're needed simply because that data is not available on chain from the protocol layer.
Yeah, I just to add to that, I think, like, a good example within DeFi would be like a lending protocol. So let's take, you know, something like Maker as an example, where, you know, you had the option to create a vault and you can effectively deposit some collateral, and then the protocol will issue you a certain amount of stable coins, or DAI in this case, as a loan, effectively, against your collateral. You deposit the collateral as effectively to say, like, you know, if I don't repay this loan, here's something for you to cash in so that you're not losing out. But the way that the protocol actually understands how many stable coins to issue you at that time when you, say, deposit one Bitcoin as collateral is via an oracle. The oracle not only communicates that information, which in this case would be the latest value or price of Bitcoin in US dollars, if we're talking US dollar stablecoin like DAI, of course. But it also does it in a way which can be utilized in a automated way, right? There doesn't need to be a human sitting in the middle of this process checking, you know, checks and balances and things like that. So oracle protocols as Jen, you know, said there, they're the backbone of DeFi. They deliver the data, price data, which is mostly what DeFi needs and uses, into these protocols so that they can operate in an automated way without any human intervention. And they can make decisions and effectively execute contracts on chain. And that, you know, that those are the products, those are the financial, the decentralized financial products that we all enjoy and use. And the way that they can work is with oracles on the back end.
Yeah, that's great. And, it's also very important to keep in mind, and we'll dig in on the importance of this too a little bit later, like the decentralization of these Oracle networks that you're leveraging when you're building these DeFi protocols is also very, very important. And a story that I like to use is, you know, we have Hudson Jameson, who works at Polygon Labs. In like very early days, in the US, there's this, you know, NCAA March Madness tournament, and there's tournament brackets, and everyone fills out a bracket. And basically, if you have the most accurate bracket at the end, like, you typically win a pool of money. And so I think Hudson and some early people in Ethereum were trying to do this on chain, but you know the Oracle infrastructure wasn't really available at that time to provide that type of like very specific niche information. And so Hudson created Hudson Oracle, which he was just one person manually entering in information on the blockchain. And that is, you know, that's an oracle, because that is providing outside information into the blockchain, but that's an incredibly centralized process. And for something like this, you know, this bracket pool where it's like Hudson and like five friends who he knows very well, and you know, there's like social remedies that can be done to, you know, make sure things are becoming, you know, that are accurate, in a much more adversarial environment, like a DeFi protocol that has, you know, billions of dollars in TVL, the decentralization of that Oracle is very important. And so I was wondering if y'all could, you know, talk about how Chronicle Labs views decentralization and maybe like how you feel the protocol is decentralized, and just talk about that aspect of the trilemma for Oracles.
Sure. I think I'll just touch on, you know, why decentralization is so important in Oracle protocols, and then I'll let Jen sort of come in on how we approach it and how we approach decentralization at Chronicle, and, you know, how we've built the protocol to sort of serve that. So you basically just described it, you know, very, very well there, you know, about how important decentralization is for an Oracle protocol, because if you have sort of like a centralized data source, a single data source, or you have some form of piece in the middle of the protocol which is centralized, right, and has control over the data that is served up to the user, then you have a huge risk, and you have a moral hazard, right? And this is effectively because the data could just be manipulated, right? So in your case, Hudson could report the outcome of the sports game or whatever it was to suit his needs and, suit his agenda, which may be malicious. And the same is true with Oracle protocols. If an Oracle doesn't have a decentralized sort of protocol or structure built in to how it operates, how it sources its data, how it validates the truth of its data, before serving up to its users, then you are putting all your trust as the user, as that DeFi protocol with millions of dollars in TVL, you're putting all your trust in that Oracle company or that Oracle provider. And sadly, that, you know, there are instances of this in the space right now. I'm not going to start calling people out and naming names. People can do their own research and work it out for themselves. But, you know, there are providers in the space, for example, that run the majority of their own nodes. And in an Oracle protocol, you have nodes which are tasked with sourcing the data. And then each of the nodes will effectively give their answer to the question or give their piece of data. The data is aggregated together and a consensus, the consensus of the answers is taken. And, you know, that's then reported through. So that's how you, for example, would validate that, you know, that's how you ensure that you're not just using one source there you're not relying on one provider to get that data for you and push it through the protocol. But if you are running all those nodes yourself, you effectively have the power to report any value that you want. Say we're talking about price, you could effectively manipulate and input that data. to match anything that you want it to. And that's, I'm not suggesting that, you know, Oracle protocols that do this and run the majority of their own validator nodes would do this, but it's more the risk that what if the security or the operations of that protocol, that Oracle protocol, gets hacked, right? And if they do get hacked, the door is wide open for the hacker to do that. And that's sort of the risk, the moral hazard that's really built in when an Oracle protocol runs the majority of its own nodes. Another way that where you have centralization or dependency is when you're relying on a single piece of infrastructure. And this could be something like a cross-chain bridge, for example. At Chronicle, we, and Jen will get into this, I'm sure, you know, we have an approach similar to Chainlink, where we deploy the Oracle or the smart contract on natively on the chain where the user is using it. So that ensures that there's sort of 100% data availability there. You're not relying on a bridge to take that data and deliver it to the destination chain, right? So you don't have that sort of point of centralization and you don't have that dependency. All of this is really, really important for ensuring that you have a resilient and secure a protocol sort of free of moral hazard. And that's why, you should only ever go with a decentralized Oracle, really, if you have security and you don't want to be putting trust in a person or entity. But I'll let Jen now get into how we sort of approach that at Chronicle and how we've, because it's a sort of a fundamental issue, right, with Oracle networks. You have to, the only way you can get around it is with design, right? So we've designed Chronicle in a very specific way to try and tackle this issue. And I'll hand over to Jen to talk about that.
Yeah. So what Angus described is kind of the reasons why something like so critical that is, providing data directly into protocols and you know, providing like mission critical information to those protocols. And if that information is wrong because it was manipulated, that could be catastrophic for those protocols and those users of those protocols. So it's really important to have decentralization when it comes to Oracle designs. And, I think personally, like a lot of times, you know, the space gets hung up on a product being launched where it's centralized at first with plans to be decentralized or only decentralized for the sake and the branding of being decentralized. But Oracles are kind of unique where their value in securing a protocol and being resilient is actually aided by using decentralization as a tool, not just as a gimmick or, you know, a nice to have. It's actually better because of decentralization. It's much more resilient. So, because again, you know, Chronicle has sat, you know, within Maker and BID, tasked with, securing billions of dollars over the years. It takes security and resiliency very seriously. And with that, our design is such where, you know, we have a network of validators, or some people call them price feeds, that are, most of them are known public entities, and they're actually unique in that they're also reputable DeFi brands. So some of our validators are actors like DYDX, Gitcoin, Gnosis, like a handful of other that have been in the space and you know, users are trusting them and could look at them and say, okay, cool, that's who's behind Chronicle's system. That's pretty good. Like I identify with them. It's not some name like XYZ validator that I have no idea who that is or, you know, what their business is about. So we take the approach of consisting of validators that have built up reputation in the space that others can identify and say, okay, I get who this is. And then also we make the whole supply chain of our Oracle updates visible through a dashboard on our website. And this sounds like very like, you know, unremarkable, but it's actually unique where a lot of times if you're looking to understand like where a price update came from, you kind of have to dig through Etherscan, track down different sources and try to like form an opinion about who were the participants in an Oracle update from other providers. So we make this information readily available for anybody that's non-technical to just click on an Oracle and asset pair and say, okay, this is the update for ETHUSD. I see these are the validators that participated in this update. I recognize the names. I can actually see the signatures they submitted and attested to this price. And I can also see the data sources, the exchanges that they use to query for the prices. And this is all just like simple stuff. Again, you don't have to be a developer. You just click on, go to our website and look at the dashboard and you can see it. And that's really built on this concept of like, verify, don't trust, right? And again, bringing back the ethos of Maker, where DAI is this censorship resistant, decentralized asset that anybody can understand and actually like verify the value of it just by like checking to see what's backing it and seeing how much is backing it, how much collateral is backing it at any time. You don't need to call a bank. You don't need to be an accredited investor. You don't have to have special privileges. You just go on, the internet and you look and you see it and you go on your way. You can make an informed decision if you want to use this or you don't feel like you have enough information. So that design of like full, beyond transparency, like actual verifiability is something that was very intentional with our kind of public launch of bringing Chronicle to the space. But more importantly, it's not just like branding and nice marketing. It's truly like the design for resiliency, like having these pieces where there's always verification of what's taking place is the most important thing because that's essentially the risk for a protocol taking on an external actor like an Oracle is quite high. And we're actually seeing a trend in the space with Oracle-less protocols like Ajna, and there's a few others who, because they want to minimize all the external dependencies, are building without Oracles, right? Because Oracles are, in fact, a dependency and a risk factor. So as a way to kind of address that real risk, Chronicle has taken this approach to just make everything fully available, viewable, verifiable, but more importantly, decentralized because it's actually the best tool for security.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all for that. And, I think like with a lot of other Oracle protocols, there is like a mechanism for the validators to provide, some sort of collateral, that type of incentive mechanism where they, if they are, just like the typical like blockchain economics triangle or incentive mechanisms, a game theory, right? If you provide accurate data, then you receive additional rewards. But if you act maliciously or incorrectly, then you get slashed. And then, so the Chronicle does it have a similar process to those other protocols, a similar incentive mechanism for the validators where it's like, staking, get slashed, lose your collateral. How does that all work and balance out?
That's right. So that's 100% right. So we have a thing at the moment which we refer to as like proof of reputation, which is why the having these reputable and well-known brands as part of our validator set is so important. This will evolve to become more than proof of reputation in the future, but for now, this is what we have to ensure the sort of honesty of our validator network. Alongside the consensus mechanism, which is built into the protocol, which sort of never takes just a single answer from a single validator, but pulls together a quorum of answers, which is a certain number of validators within the validator set to ensure that, the value that we are reporting has been sort of checked to be reported within a certain range by multiple different actors or validators. So alongside that, we have this proof of reputation, which I just mentioned there, which basically, we have fraud proofs built into the system where if a validator is caught acting maliciously and reporting a fraudulent value or a fraudulent piece of data, they are immediately sort of auto banned from taking part in any future Oracle updates. The way it sort of works actually is we have like, I don't want to get too technical, but we have sort of like a ceremony that takes place as like a signing ceremony, which takes place to validate the data. And they are effectively like blacklisted by all of the other validator nodes. The address of that node is. So effectively they are auto-banned and they can immediately upon the realization that, having checked and verified that the data they're reporting is fraudulent or malicious. And where proof of reputation comes into this is that, it's not just with Chronicle, it's not just about saying like trust Chronicle, because for the first thing we say don't trust Chronicle, we say verify, right? Don't trust, verify, and that's why we have these verification tools built into our dashboard and this full transparency of the data pipeline as Jen described. But if there is an element of trust to be had in there in the validator set, which there is with decentralized oracles. We have this idea of them being so reputable that if they were to act maliciously, they have so much to lose, in the sense that whatever they have to gain in terms of monetary value would pale in comparison to the reputation or sort of damage that they would cause to their own protocol and their own brand for acting sort of maliciously or you know, fraudulently to try and manipulate the oracle and you know, get some form of financial gain out of it. So we have like a really interesting mechanism in that sense, and that's entirely unique to Chronicle and this sort of proof of reputation, if you like. But yeah, there's sort of other elements that will be built into that as well, which will ensure that the validators have some other form of skin in the game to worry about, let's say, if they were to act maliciously or fraudulently, but nothing we can talk about just yet.
Amazing. Thank you. That's perfect. That's exactly the answer that I was looking to find out about. So, okay, Jen, Angus, you're in Nice right now. I hear it's Nice over there in Nice. You're on the offsite talking about plans and the roadmap and the future and initiatives. Can you give us a little insight into what's going on at the Chronicle Labs offsite? Like, what's on the roadmap, or what kind of sticks out on the roadmap to the two of you that is most exciting personally?
Yeah, so some of the things we're going to be pushing out shortly into the market is, you know, services related to real world asset data. So again, because of our history within Maker, and Maker being the biggest lender to real world assets, we've seen firsthand like how complex that is. And we're not talking about just like deploying DAI into T-bills, but deploying DAI into other types of businesses and being able to coordinate the different off-chain parties that manage that that deal flow. And so we have you know, basically a product roadmap in place to help automate the data delivery back into a DeFi lender, obviously taking examples from Maker, and Maker will be a user of this, but essentially allowing for an oracle or a data infrastructure layer to help with dynamic decision making for, you know, a DAO or a DeFi protocol that isn't just like this, you know, team sitting around and arbitrarily making decisions, but they have their own coordination challenges of managing like you know, people across different geographies and aren't necessarily working together at all times, right? So having an oracle that could help a DAO or a DeFi lender better decision make on their loans is something that's going to be huge as, you know, other DeFi protocols begin to really get into real world lending, right? And right now, Maker is kind of like the only one that's doing this at scale. But with the kind of growth and anticipation for the real world asset category, this is going to be like very, very important. So that's one of the areas we're going to be delivering on from a product perspective, just kind of like day to day stuff where, you know, speaking of DeFi price feeds, which is kind of like the bread and butter of Oracle protocols. And right now, most of the Oracle needs are of course, just like DeFi price feeds. You know, we have about, you know, like a 50 different oracles available now, different asset pairs. And we are going to be adding more asset pairs, more oracles rather, in the coming weeks. And also, you know, as new coins come on the market, some that we don't even know about right now, but ones that will generate a lot of demand and a lot of adoption across the space, and we'll need a, you know, really credible and experienced oracle service provider, we will be there to serve them. So just our ability to kind of react to the market's needs in a quick way is something we're setting ourselves up for. So that's going to be super exciting. And then just additional scaling. We are live on Polygon ZK EVM. So for all the Polygon ZK EVM builders, please reach out. We want to help you with any Oracle needs. And, you know, for others, you know, bridging over from other L2s, we are on other L2s as well. So our goal is to support builders wherever they are and provide them unique experiences with the different assets they need in those, you know, in those native L2 environments. So high level, it's really about kind of streamlining the ability for builders to request and get things from Chronicle in a very, very quick way that helps them do the things that they want to do faster. And then drilling into these kind of product verticals where we have, you know, like tons of experience and you know, there's like kind of a gap right now in the market for anybody filling that. And then also, you know, right now our system is set up where it's, you know, a push Oracle design. So that simply means there's updates, Oracle updates being pushed out from the Oracle protocol on a specific, you know, cadence based on different parameters per assets. We also will have a pull Oracle, which is, you know, really nice for those super low latency types of protocols that are like requesting updates at their own time intervals. So that's something we should have in market fairly soon as well. So yeah, so a lot of cool stuff on the horizon. Angus, am I missing anything?
No, I think you covered it really well. The RWA vertical or narrative, I think, is the most exciting from my point of view. They're particularly calling on that unique insight that we've had to how the on-chain and off-chain capital markets connect. Because it's not really as straightforward as we might think. As Jen alluded to there, there are a huge number of different human components in the middle of all of that, on the off-chain side, which is, you know, all built around sort of financial regulation and other rules and things like that, which is quite natural. But again, as we've discovered with blockchain and oracles and the things that they enable, this sort of process is slow. It's not necessarily resilient. There's this opportunity for manipulation through moral hazard because a human is involved, as we know. We're not all good, although we try. There's a huge opportunity there for Oracle infrastructure, which effectively is like this gated bridge that not only transports data across the bridge, but also like checks it at the gate to ensure that it's accurate and true and has been verified and validated in a really rigorous manner. So that's what I'm most excited to for us to reveal as we come up to, you know, as we're sort of ready to do so. And yeah, we've been spending a lot of time here in Nice to talking about that and planning on the various integrations that we'll have for that.
Angus, thanks for leaning into my Nice joke with me. I really do appreciate it.
I think you needed a bit of support there, Justin. I've got you, man. All right, we can be unfunny together.
Much obliged, as we say here in Texas. Speaking of that, are y'all going to be at Consensus in Austin, Texas this year?
We certainly are. We certainly are. And I think the last time we saw you was in Texas, in that very same venue for Permissionless. So it's becoming almost an annual rendezvous, Justin, in your home state. So yeah, very much looking forward to getting back there. We'll have a booth. So anyone who's on the call right now, if you want to come by and get some awesome Chronicle swag, we've got hats, we've got socks, we've got t-shirts. I would say some of the coolest hats and socks in the business, but I'm a little bit biased. Then please do come by and see us, and we'll be happy to dish some out. And Justin, of course, you're going to have to drop back in to make sure that we get you updated with the latest swag as well. But yeah, Consensus is going to be great. I'm just not looking forward to that that summer weather in Texas, which I hear is rather hot.
Yeah, I mean, wear shorts, don't wear jeans. It's going to be really hot in the summer, especially in Austin where it's humid as well. So. But I really like what y'all were talking about on like the RWA side of things. And I feel like, you know, MakerDAO, for how as OG as it's been, it's, you know, it's also been very, very ambitious in the initiatives that it takes on. And I feel like, let me know if you feel differently about this, but you know, well, do you feel like the ambitions of MakerDAO directly or just like influence the roadmap of Chronicle and what y'all are trying to build on that end?
I think, well, yeah, because now our relationship to Maker is not so much just inside Maker. We are its service provider, and they are an extremely important, you know, customer and partner to us. So we are absolutely very attuned to what their goals are and their ambitions. And of course, we want to be able to serve them. But more so, I think it's, you know, they are like this shining example of what DeFi can be when built right. You know, like knock on wood, like they've had an excellent track record on security and growth, and that's because they've taken the approach of building for the long term, not just for the next cycle, right? And their ambitions are for decades, not for, you know, a few years. And similarly, that's how Chronicle is designed. You know, we don't take shortcuts just to catch a trend. Building Oracle infrastructure is not easy, and if it was easy, then there's probably a reason why it's not, you know, that secure or that resilient, right? Like these are very complex systems that have to be done in a certain way in order to survive, just the way Maker created, created money for people to use, you know, indefinitely. So I think from an ambition standpoint, we're very, very much aligned on that long-term view and putting security first and putting, you know, the people that are using it first. And we take that very seriously.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that as well. I think that, you know, the importance of oracles and the dependency that DeFi has on oracles for security really cannot be overstated. Like, I think a great analogy for it is like, imagine putting like a metal chest in the middle of a square, and you are going to put a lock on that chest. The oracle is effectively the lock, and how strong that lock is, it depends on whether you're going to allow people to get into that chest and effectively pillage it. And unfortunately, that is the nature of DeFi. There are always bad actors out there trying to hack groups that are trying to get in and get their hands on those millions of dollars or billions of dollars in Maker's case, of DAI or other stablecoins or ETH or BTC or other collateral, and drain it and get it for their own needs, right? And the oracle is one of the main elements of that security. So ensuring that you build it properly and build it for the long term and design it in a way that is as foolproof as it can be, because nothing in this world is foolproof, as we know, but as foolproof as it can be, ensures that you can secure, you know, as we are right now, $10 billion for MakerDAO, for Spark Protocol and others. And scale that to secure $100 billion or $1 trillion, you know, wherever this space may go. We hope it's going in that direction. But I can tell you that, Chronicle's been doing that since 2017. Maker has obviously, as Jen sort of touched on there, has been that leading DeFi in its own way since 2017 without any sort of huge drama or problems or security issues and things like that. And all of that points towards the way that the protocols have been built, the way that they've been designed, the people behind them, the architects, effectively. And that's why we're very lucky to have so many of those sort of original Maker people at Chronicle taking us forward.
Yeah, that's some really interesting points you brought up there, because, you know, when you talk about the roadmap, and I think RWAs is definitely like a very big trend that we're seeing in the DeFi space. I mean, it's been a trend and it's been a topic of conversation for a very long time, but we're actually starting to see a lot of this come to fruition with a lot of the ambitions and help of projects like MakerDAO and Chronicle Protocol. And if you look at like the total addressable market for assets outside of the blockchain space, like for equities, it's like $100 trillion in addressable market. And with bonds, it's like $125 trillion in addressable market. And it's like, okay, well, are we going to bring all of that on chain, like $200 trillion? Like, no, probably not. But that's just, there's a lot of opportunity. Like, what if you brought 1% of that on chain? And, you know, those assets got to realize the kind of decentralized nature and potential capital efficiencies that the blockchain ecosystem can provide. I think we're at a very exciting time, and I think it's very exciting to see projects like Chronicle help to lead the way in that regard as well. So sadly, Jen and Angus, we are starting to run up on time a little bit, but I just want to give you all the last word. Jen, we'll start with you. Just, you know, if there's anything that maybe you just want to make sure our listeners and audience are aware of, or we didn't get a chance to touch on specifically that you want to be sure to address, just go ahead and give that opportunity to you right now.
Yeah, thanks, Justin, for this conversation. Yeah, I think really it's you know, the message is we are ready. We're live here on Polygon ZK EVM. We're ready for you guys. Reach out to us. let us know what you need. You know, we've designed our integration to be very, very easy. If you're using Chainlink, you know, we're designed to be Chainlink compatible. So for you guys to builders, you guys to, you know, onboard to Chronicle, it's really quite simple. So let us know how we can help you. You know, that's what we're here for. I'd say that's it. Yeah, we're ready to work.
Angus, any last words from you?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jen, you know, as our fantastic lead of BD and growth, he really hit the nail on the head there, right? That Chronicle, as a brand, may be new, having only just spun out of Maker in September, but as a tech stack, as an Oracle protocol, it's you know, it goes way back to 2017, and it's been securing up to and over $20 billion, you know, during that time, for example, at the height of the last bull run. So there really is, and we're happy to go toe-to-toe on this, right? Like, if you want to put us in the UFC ring with any other, in the octagon with any other Oracle protocol, we're happy to sort of challenge people on this, on being sort of the most secure, the most decentralized, and also the most cost efficient. And, you know, this is how we've designed Chronicle. This is why we've done it in this way, but also the most transparent as well. That is the most important element to us, is that transparency. And we're sort of using it, if you like, as a tool in itself, right? When comparing us to, say, Chainlink, or comparing us to another Oracle protocol in the space, no one is as transparent as us, and certainly no one is verifiable in the same way that we are. So we figure that what's better than sort of going toe to toe is perhaps disarming by actually showing everything, opening up everything, saying you can see exactly where we sourced this data. It came from these markets, it came from these exchanges, it came from these pairs. That data was validated by these actors, right? By these brands that you know. And it was used and reported at this time and by this protocol. So if you are in the unfortunate position of maybe getting liquidated one day by a DeFi protocol that you're using, and you know, unfortunately you lose some money, if that protocol is using Chronicle, for example, you have that peace of mind to be able to see exactly, you know, how that happened and where the data came from that led to that. But more so for the protocols themselves, they don't have to put so much trust in oracles anymore, and that's we think that's so important to drive the Oracle space forward and to take it to the next level. As blockchain and as this space like evolves, as more capital pours in, we need to get back to those core values that led to the explosion and the success of blockchain in the first place, right? You know, things being, it being sort of permissionless, it's sort of being trustless, allowing anyone to just deploy and create and build. There's no sort of gatekeeping there, and unfortunately oracles haven't kept to that and haven't emulated that, but we're taking it back there. And all I would say is that, you know, any builder that is building something, you know, in the DeFi space, for example, on Polygon ZKVM, ask those questions. We're not saying you need to come and work with us, obviously we'd love that, but all we ask is at least ask those questions. You know, ask where the data is coming from that your protocol is relying on. Ask who is sitting in the middle of the protocol, validating the truth of it, and how does, you know, what mechanism is there for making that happen. Ask about dependencies and points of centralization, so you understand the risks, you know, of that you are effectively exposing your protocol to, all your hard work to. So, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today, Justin. As always, thank you so much for having us on. And yeah, hopefully we were able to open some eyes to how the Oracle market works, how oracles themselves work, and how they secure billions of dollars of TVL in the blockchain space as this sort of hidden backbone of crypto.
Wow, that was amazing. Typically, when I ask for last words, people just say, hey, follow us on Twitter. But, you know, Jen and Angus are over here saying, put us in the octagon, ask questions. I love the battle cry. It's very, very Braveheart. You know, I really appreciate that. We need this on a Tuesday. But unfortunately, that's the end of our show today. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. A special thank you to Jen and Angus and Chronicle Protocol and Chronicle Labs. This episode is produced by Smokey Titan at Polygon Labs. I'm your host, Justin Havens, aka Crypto Texan, and we will catch you all next time. Thanks, everyone.